I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting this afternoon. Can everyone hear me clearly? Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are either turned off or switched to silent. Use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded, except where the Council is considering exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I would remind councillors of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. Item 1, apologies. The chairperson's remarks. I would like to thank everyone once again who were involved in the flooding emergency over the past week. No matter how small a part you played, we are grateful for your help and support. It is now time for the talking to be set aside and action taken as soon as possible to help everyone involved. The one thing that has stuck in my head is I was in Downpatrick yesterday morning doing a walkabout and I met a family who owned a few shops. Their shops were all completely decimated. We spoke with the shop owner and her mother. We were with them for quite a while. And the one thing that stuck in my head was the granny said that the wee grandson had come into the room earlier on and he had a loaf of bread, packet of Rice Krispies and a carton of milk. And he said to her, at least we won't starve. So that was the one thing that really stuck out for me over the past few days. But we are a resilient crowd here in Newry Morning Down, and we will come back bigger and better than what we are at the moment. So it's onwards from here and get stuck in and get ourselves back to what we do best. Our thoughts and prayers are with the family and friends of young Dylan Valerie, who's critically ill in hospital after being involved in a road traffic collision in Camlop 2 weeks ago. Our thoughts are also with the family and friends of all those involved in the horrific accident at the Gosford Market Hill Junction at the weekend. And on a lighter note, on behalf of the Council, I would like to wish Michael Savage all the very best in his new role as CEO of Newry Chamber. Councillor Devlin.
Yeah, thank you. Valerie, just a few words as FDLP group leader. Just wanting to pay tribute to our colleague Michael. I suppose so much has changed from our last October meeting, but we want to thank him for all his work in the Newry DAA and also his time as chairperson of this house. He did go above and beyond and worked for everyone. So we wish him all the best in his role in the Chamber of Commerce, and what a challenging week it's been for him to begin his new role. And we do hope, Chair, to announce his replacement in the coming days. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Devon. Councillor McMurray.
Yeah, Can I go ahead, Laura? Go ahead. Just very unfortunately, it's a sad thing that I have to say. A young lady down beside me in Ballymartin, Tracy Smith, lost her life there. She took her own life there. She did towards the end of last week in the middle of all the floods and everything like that there. So she's a young woman, so she was. And sadly, nobody knows what's in anybody's head whenever they feel like they're in such a lonely place that this is the only way out. So we all could remember Tracy in our thoughts and prayers.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor McMorrick.
Thank you, Sharon. And thank you, Councillor Hannah. I certainly will. That's terribly sad. Just to pay tribute to Councillor Savage, and he's not here to say goodbye to him as such, but he always was cordial and he always contributed well and he was much liked. So, and pass our good regards to from the Alliance Party and to the Newry Chamber. I'm sure we'll see him about them. Anyway, cheers, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray. Councillor Tinley.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm sure you'd like to join me and hopefully the members also in sending our condolences to the family of the late Anthony Williamson, who was a long-time independent councillor in Restrever, a fierce defender of and advocate for the people of Restrever and the wider Clotleave area, Chairperson. And if you'll indulge me, could I propose that we send a letter of sympathy to the family. Thank you.
I second your proposal, Councillor Timley. Councillor Taylor?
Yeah, Chair, I'm happy to second that if that hasn't already been seconded, the Chair. But no, listen, I just want to concur with the comments regarding Councillor Savage. In a way, I always considered him to be a good colleague and friend. We've had our political differences over the years. He always, was very keen to work with everybody to try and deliver for the people that he represented and that we all represent. So just to pass on my best wishes to him. I've spoken to him directly, but just through the Chamber as well, as he assumes his new role as Chief Executive of the Chamber. Thank you.
Councillor Hanlon.
It's just a comment that Sinn Féin group lead. We wish Michael Savage all the best in his new role. Obviously, he's come in at a very, very challenging time, and he was always easy to work with in the council, so wish him all the best.
Okay, Councillor Hammond. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. I would just like to take this opportunity on behalf of Mrs. Wilson. She reached the age of 100, and I had the pleasure of delivering a bouquet of flowers from on behalf of the council to Mrs. Wilson on her birthday, and She, along with her family, would like to thank you, Chair, and the Council for your gesture of sending the flowers and such a milestone in her life of reaching 100. And she said, thanks, everybody. Very kind. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Jackson.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, just on behalf of the DUP team, I want to concur with Councillor Devlin, just wishing Michael Savage all the very best in his new role. And he always worked well with us at his time as Chair, so pass that on, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Gibbons.
Thank you, Chair. Just a quick word on the passing of Anthony Williamson. I just want to send my deepest condolences to the family. And, Anthony was a fantastic councillor. He was a giant within the community, and it'll be a huge loss to the Restrever people and the wider community. Anthony was a hard worker and a fantastic character. And just, yes, it'll be a huge loss. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Gibbons. Councillor McAteer.
Okay, thank you, Chair. And again, just to pay tribute to my former colleague Michael Savage, and miss him a lot from council as a colleague, and I'm sure we will be sure touching base with him again many times. Again, I would like to be associated with Councillor Tinley's words of sympathy to the Williamson family in Restrever, and I'd also add to this that as well the former late Councillor Arthur Ruddy from Newry, former the old Newry Mourne Council. He was a member there for many years at the SDLP as well, and I propose that we send a letter of sympathy as well to that family. Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. Item 2, declarations of interest.
None, Chair.
Item 3, the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 2nd of October 2023. Look through the pages for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8. So we have a proposer and seconder. Proposed by Councillor Finn. Any matters arising? Item 4 is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 2nd of October 2023. We get through the pages for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, page 16, page 17, page 18, page 19. Could we have a proposer and seconder, please? Councillor Bowsey, seconded by Councillor Devlin. Any matters arising? Item 5 is the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 25th of September. Look through the pages for accuracy, page 1, page 2, and page 3. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Councillor Larkin, you'd like to make a comment?
Yes, Chair, just for accuracy, I'm recorded as having attended by Teams, but I was in the chamber for that meeting.
Thank you, Councillor Larkin. Item 6 is the minutes of the Enterprise Region. Sorry, a seconder for... Item 6, the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism meeting held on the 9th of October 2023. We'll go through them for pages for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by second. Councillor Kern, seconded by Councillor Galbraith. Any matters arising? Sorry?
He's not on that committee.
Councillor Galbraith, you're not on that committee? Sorry, you weren't at the meeting, sorry. Seconded by Councillor Bowsey.
No,
oh, sorry, Councillor. Could I have a seconder for the meeting, please? Councillor Hannah. Councillor Bowsey, you have a comment?
Similar issue, it says in brackets Bowsey instead of Chambers. Just note that I was in the chamber.
Yeah, that's okay. That would be amended. Item 7 is the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 12th of October 2023. Through them page by page for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Mathers, Seconded by Councillor McAteer. Sorry.
Chair, just when I'm saying that just I attended that meeting, and Ben does not attend it. I know I'm small, but I'm not that small.
He was there. That will be amended, Councillor McAteer.
All right.
Councillor Tinley, matters rising.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. And first of all, Chair, my apologies for raising these issues, but I'm not a member of SPR, and this is the only chance I'm going to get to address these matters. Page 6, Chairperson, is the first matter I wish to raise. It's about the Colony Acre lettings, and specifically the Colony Acre lettings of for a four-year period for the hay meadow in Cabrony Park. Now, Chairperson, that's a 20-acre field we're
Sorry,
talking about.
Sorry, Councillor Tinley, that was in closed session.
And how do I address the issue, Chair?
We would have to go into committee.
Well, I'm happy enough to propose you suspend standing orders if I can get the support.
Proposed to go into closed session. Do I need a seconder? Second by Councillor Hannah. Item 9, the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee meeting held on the 16th of October 2023. Item 8. We'll just go through the pages for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9. Could we have a proposer and seconder for accuracy? By Councillor Devlin. Seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Councillor Lee Surgeoner, you have a comment?
Yeah, on the attendance, I actually attended five teams. I was with Murray, so okay. Nice.
Councillor Finn.
Thankfully mine isn't about attendance. That's all good on my side. It's actually just about the provision of swimming pool maintenance and services provisions. Now I know Paul isn't here this evening, but there were some issues I know certainly with the learner pool in Newry Leisure Centre, and I was just wondering if
there's Go ahead, Councillor Finn.
Just if we could potentially get an update from Paul on that. I don't mind if I know he's not here this evening, so I'm happy to get that by email over the next couple of days, if that's okay, but just to flag that.
Thank you, Councillor Finn. Councillor Devlin? Thanks for the lead, Sergeant. No, we have already. Councillor McGinnis. Right. Item 9, the Minutes of the Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 17th of October. Can we go through the pages for accuracy? Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9. Could we have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Andrews. Seconded by Councillor Finn. Councillor Jackson, do you have a question?
Yes, Chair, just regarding page 3 there. Can I request an update on the timescale of my notes of motion, review of refuse collection? Just conscious that this week has been extremely busy. I know we've had a lot of feedback again through bin collections, and just, you know, trying to get this in a timely manner. Just ask that, please.
Chair, the motion was referred to Sustainability and Environment Committee and discussed at that. So now that these minutes have been approved, we can progress it.
Item 10 is the planning section, and there were no issues arising. Placed in closed session on the proposal of it was agreed with respect to SPNR 14823, the report on the Connacher lettings, on the proposal of Councillor McAteer, seconded by Councillor Byrne, the following was agreed. An expression of interest is issued in respect of cutting the grass from the Hay Meadow, Kilbroney Park, and that Council enter into a Cornick.
Right. No,
sorry, on the proposal of Councillor Tinley and seconded by Councillor Ruan, the following was agreed, that an expression of interest is issued in respect of cutting of grass from the Hay Meadow, Kilbroney Park, and that Council enter into a Conacher licence agreement for a period of 1 year rather than 4 years, and that officers explore other options and bring a report back after 12 months. Item 11 is a response from the Department for Infrastructure. Read the notice of motion, the 173/2023 on the Ballinahinch bypass. Items 11 to 15 are all correspondence. Could we have a proposer and seconder? And then proposed by Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor McAvoy. Councillor Andrews, you have a comment?
I do. Chair, thanks so much for letting me in. It's in relation to the Ballinahinch bypass. I'm very disappointed in response from the department, and the impression I got from this letter is that the bypass is going to get kicked down the road. And that's another delay in the long-running proposals, you know, affecting the Ballinahinch bypass, you know. Everywhere else has got their road upgrades and improvements. And whilst recognising a lot of work and campaigning has been undertaken in relation to the A5 for long and many a year, the same could be said for the Ballinahinch bypass. This project, it's shovel ready. It's ready to go. Whenever I drive about the countryside and I see all the lovely roads and everything, and yet down around our way, and you know, the likes of the Ballinahinch bypass, for example, Dorrance Rock was scrubbed off the list recently, and we have issues now with the roads, etc., after the adverse weather and flooding. But look, I strongly urge and propose that we do contact the department again, outlining our displeasure at this letter. And as I say, Ballinahinch needs a bypass, to be put in place and put in place instead of talked about. And it's, again, it's very important to get the message over that we need the balanced bypass. And I propose that we write back to the department with the indulgence of my colleagues outlining their dissatisfaction and response in this letter. Thank you.
We have a seconder for Councillor Andrews' proposal. Councillor Gabriel. Councillor Finn, do you have a comment?
Yeah, it's just in relation to the piece of correspondence that was received in relation to Daisy Hill. I think it's been quite clear that the SDLPR have been fierce defenders of that, and it's something that we're going to continue to do. I'd like to suggest that we write back to ask the department in relation particularly to the factors in which the department are considering any changes that they've said, if, you know, with the minister's priorities or with people living in the area. I'd like to know actually what weighting is on those or how that is factored in, because I think there's such a massive public feeling, and I think you can see that across the district from the number of consultation responses that were received. It's really important that, you know, it isn't when the time comes, and if it is to be a ministerial decision taken, that people living within Uri and the rest of the wider district aren't ignored. So I would like to know that, and I suppose just to mention as well the really good work of the SOS Daisy Hill Group, who are going to be holding a public meeting this Wednesday at 7 o'clock within the Canal Court for anybody who would like to attend. I think it's really important that as many people are there as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Finn. Do you have is there a seconder for Councillor Finn's proposal? Councillor Byrne. Is everyone in agreement? Now we move on to the notices of motion. Item 16 is a notice of motion on open water swimming. This motion will be deferred to ERT if Councillor Truesdale will read her motion and tell us who will be seconding it, please.
Thank you, Chair. The motion reads, this council recognises the increased public interest in open water swimming and the public's strong desire for an extension of the current bathing season as documented in the DERA 2022 review of bathing waters. Unfortunately, DERA does not carry out water quality testing between September and May due to current regulations, leaving many swimmers unsure of the risk of bathing during these months. Council commits to testing the designated bathing sites within its district from September until DERA testing begins again in May, and hereafter until a minister is put in place to make the necessary amendments of the governing regulations. And the motion is to be seconded by Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. Item 17 is a notice of motion on the childcare strategy. The motion has been brought by Councillor Selena Murphy and will be deferred to ERT in line with Standing Order 16.1.6. So, Councillor Murphy, you read your motion and let us know who's going to second it, please.
Thank you, Chair. This council recognises that the cost of childcare in the north of Ireland are unaffordable for many, and hard-working families are struggling every month to meet these costs. That access to childcare in this district is an issue, with providers struggling to meet demands whilst remaining sustainable and maintaining high standards of care. That parents, particularly women, are being forced out of the workforce, leading to a negative impact on the labour market, skills and wider economic output. And that this council will write to the Education Department urging them to progress a comprehensive childcare strategy without delay and call on the DUP to restore the executive urgently, so that parties can work together to make childcare a priority. That Uri Mourne District Council will commit to delivering 10 new fully registered childminders in the area through their labour market partnership scheme. And this will be seconded by Councillor McAvoy. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Murphy. Item 18 is a notice of motion, A1 prioritisation, and this will be read here at Council. If you just go ahead with your motion, Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. This Council recognises the urgent need for A1 infrastructure upgrades and the strong public support for improvements. In order to protect lives on one of our busiest roads, this Council recognises the Phase 2 upgrades as a top priority infrastructure project and requests urgent budget reallocation to support delivery. This council commits to writing as a permanent secretary of the Department of Infrastructure, urging reprioritisation of the A1 and inclusion in Tier 1 infrastructure projects and budget reallocation to achieve Phase 2, writing the Executive and Minister for Infrastructure when the Assembly is restored to prioritise the A1 and urgently redirect budget to the upgrades, writing the Secretary of State urging prioritisation on the project and to engage with the Department for Infrastructure to ensure the improvements are a Tier 1 priority. Chair, I appreciate the A1 does not directly cross my DEA, but many from the northwest of the DEA will frequently use it in order to commute across about the islands. Only last week I was reminded of how frightening it is to negotiate sections of this road as I was taxiing some of my children about in and around Banbridge. As such, I am content to bring forward this motion, not just to benefit those in my DEA, but across our district and other council areas who have waited too long for safety upgrades to be made to this road. The A1 is the main Belfast-Dublin economic corridor, carrying on average 40,000 cars daily. Between 2002 and 2019, there has been 661 collisions and 41 people killed. The need for road safety improvements has never been greater. A public inquiry was held in 2020, and the Inspector of the Public Inquiry, Kevin Chambers, recommended that the improvement scheme be expedited as quickly as possible. He said, a busy roadway of such strategic importance will always be prone to the occurrence of serious accidents, but the serious and fatal accident statistics for this road show that the proposed improvements are an urgent requirement. As a result, in January 2021, the then infrastructure Nicola Mallon announced that Phase 2 road improvements should progress. 13 years later, despite a public inquiry, the previous ministerial approvals faced continued delays and a reprioritisation of this much-needed project. The journey has been an emotional roller coaster for those who have lost family and friends on this road and for those who passionately campaign to improve this road safety so that no other family has to face losing a loved one. The economic potential of this road hasn't been fully explored due to the lack of investment and vision. The Department's response to the public inquiry estimated an economic return with a benefit-cost ratio of 2.1, representing a significant contribution to the GVA, given the high capital cost of infrastructure investment. The progression of this road would unlock economic potential for our borough and accelerate our potential as a growth corridor with good access to the A and M1. The benefits are clear: improved journey times, safer journey for our residents, and a direct and indirect economic boost in sectors such as logistics, construction, manufacturing and tourism. Thank you, Chair, and Councillor Truesdale will second.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. Do you wish to speak to the motion?
No. Thank you.
Councillor McAteer.
I think it's me.
Sorry.
I think the lights determine who's next, isn't it? No? I thought all this new found speaker system was top of the range, obviously not.
Yeah, because we're hybrid, we still have to use the chat facility. That's
they claim to agree with you, my dear, and then for it. Thanks for taking this motion forward once again. But it's a bit short-sighted in the sense that it could have gone further, and the road could have gone further as well. Unfortunately, this proposal, which was announced way back in 21, only actually takes in the area between Sprucefield and Lough Brickland, and this does, the rest of the road actually does cross through our council area, cross through my own DEA, Croppleave, and right through to Newry. So I would ask that the proposer would accept an amendment to this, given the time delay in this, that DFI would be instructed and asked to commence work on proposals for the next stage, which would run from Lough Brickland through to Newry, and that you add that to the proposal or to the motion, because at this moment of time, what I understand, that particular section is not even on the radar, which is quite shameful, again, given the number of fatalities that there have been on that whole road. And we've all seen when a serious accident or fatality happens, the cameras are out, officers are present from road service, but we've seen nothing really happens. And there's absolutely no reason why this shouldn't have been prioritised ahead. Some of the other schemes that we've seen noted
occupied roads throughout the whole area. This is a matter of life and death in many occasions, in one of the busiest roads in Ireland. And I travelled last night from Kinsale County Cork through to Bourne. Not one set of traffic lights had it through. So we're living in the dark ages up here. We can't even, when we do build a motorway, it's a dual carriageway. That's a death trap. So we've got to get real, get modern. And I'm calling for the next phase to be certainly put out there and worked upon at this stage. And certainly, absolutely back the proposal on the motion to commence phase two from Sprucefield to Lochbrickley. Okay, thank you, Chair.
Councillor McMurray, will you accept Councillor McAteer's amendment to your proposal? Your motion? Thank you. Councillor Ryan?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Sinn Féin would welcome both the proposal and the amendment from Councillor McAteer. It's not that long, maybe a year or two back, that we actually had family members who had lost loved ones in this chamber about this particular issue. And to think that here, a couple of years later, that we're still looking for them to prioritise the road and get on with the works that needs done. I think anybody who travels that road, no matter when you go up or down it, there's not a time that you don't see a potential accident in front of you, because it's always the potential for it there. And I think that's been proven in the past. And unfortunately, too many people have lost their lives on it. And every day that it ain't done is the potential for somebody else to lose their life on it. So it needs to be prioritised, and we agree wholeheartedly with the proposal.
Thank you, Councillor Ryan. Councillor Taylor?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Very happy to support this motion. There's been so many tragedies along this road over the years. And as Councillor Rand said, I think we all, you know, when you're travelling on it on a regular basis, you can see the potential issues that there are. And unfortunately, it hasn't been given the priority that it deserves. Whilst there has been investment over the years, it hasn't been to the extent that's required. And I certainly hope that the department will, you know, take this issue as seriously as it needs to be, because the work is required sooner rather than later. There is, you know, just a build up of frustration really, because this has been talked about for so long, about prioritising works on this, on the A1, and it never materialises to the extent that's required. So if we can add any pressure, you know, through this motion coming forward, that would be welcome. So very happy to support that and the amendment that was proposed by Councillor McAteer.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor McMurray, if you'd like to sum up.
No, thank you very much, Chair. And again, just thank Councillor McAteer, Councillor Ryan, and Councillor Taylor for speaking and support. I do appreciate it. And yes, it needs to be prioritised. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Item 19 is a motion on the initiative regarding livestock worrying in line with Standing Order 16.1.6. This motion will be deferred to our Sustainability and Environment Committee. The motion has been brought by Councillor Clark. Councillor Clark, you'd read your motion and let us know who seconded it, please.
Okay, Chair. Thank you. This Council notes with concern the increasing prevalence of livestock worrying in the High Mourns. In response, Council will seek to develop an initiative alongside relevant partners that aims to raise awareness of the impact that dogs off leads can have on livestock. Furthermore, Council will roll out a publicity campaign in conjunction with any such initiative in order to effectively get the message out to the people in the district in relation to this important issue. Councillor Ryan, second.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Item 20 is a notice of motion on prostate cancer drug in NI. Councillor Lee Sertiner has brought the motion.
Thank you, Chair. This motion will be seconded by Councillor Philip Campbell. Basically, this motion reads, this council expresses serious concern that the latest cancer drug, abiraterone, to tackle prostate cancer isn't being made readily available to Northern Ireland men with early stage tumours, whereas this drug is more readily available in Scotland and Wales. Prostate cancer took lives of 276 men in Northern Ireland and 519 in the Republic of Ireland last year alone. The STAMPEDE acronym for Systemic Therapy in Advancing or Metastatic Prostate Cancer evolution of drug efficacy. Trial medical study concluded that this drug, when given during early stages, could halve the risk of cancer spreading and significantly reduce the chance of death. This council writes to department secretaries for the Department for Health and Finance, as well as Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, and calls for the start date for this urgent and life-saving change. Basically, yeah, prostate cancer affects numerous men throughout UK and Ireland. And the good news is it is very effectively treated. It's very easy to survive, especially when detected early. However, ensuring access to cutting-edge treatments is crucial too. In the absence of a dedicated health minister, the responsibility falls on us as elected representatives to advocate for the well-being of our citizens. We must take action and call upon the permanent secretaries aforementioned in the motion, as well as the Secretary of State, to expedite the availability of this new drug in Northern Ireland. It is our duty to ensure that our healthcare system provides the best possible options to those facing prostate cancer, offering them the opportunity for improved outcomes and a higher quality of life. Thank you.
Councillor Lee Sojourner. Councillor Campbell, do you wish to speak to the motion?
Yes, sir. In seconding this motion, I know the reported benefits that the cancer drug abiraterone can have with men with prostate cancer. The fact that this drug is only available on a very limited basis to patients here, whether it is more widely available to patients on the NHS in Wales and Scotland, is something we should be challenging. Of course, at all times, our health service should seek to promote and provide the best possible health outcomes for patients. Here, in line with medical expert advice and consistent with NICE regulations, in light of the new and emerging evidence and research into the drug abiraterone and its impact on patients with prostate cancer, this council should also consider writing to the Department of Health, asking them to encourage NICE to review its current guidance in relation to this drug. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And again, thank you for bringing this motion forward. Goes on the side, believe this, men are notoriously poor at looking after their own health, really, and this situation doesn't help matters either when you get to that particular stage. Currently, as the proposer, the seconder, also said that it's only available in Scotland and Wales. It's also available on the charge reclamation in the south as well. And in Northern Ireland, it's only approved for men with very advanced stages of prostate cancer, which is very unfortunate. But recent trials have demonstrated that intervention in the early stage could help men with the early stage tumours that hadn't begun to spread, and that would be immense, bring immense change to their outlooks and extend their possibilities, life possibilities, by up to 6 years. In that particular diagnosis group. So I think it's quite essential that this is looked at as well and brought in here as well as a matter of urgency. So thank you again for bringing that forward, and I hope that would go forward and we get a suitable response back to this, or a favourable response back. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Lee Sojourner, would you like to sum up?
Thank you, Chair. Basically, thank you so much, representatives, Councillor Campbell and McAteer. We appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Item 21 is a notice of motion, violence in Gaza and southern Israel. The motion is in the names of Councillor Byrne and Councillor King.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And I've got a slight amendment to the motion, in agreement with Councillor King, who I'd like to thank for joining me on this joint motion. I'll read it out the amendment's last sentence. The motion reads, this council condemns the horrifying violence and indiscriminate murder of civilians, expresses its solidarity with civilians in the region who face the threat of airstrikes, rocket attacks, abduction, and the most unthinkable forms of murder every day, calls for an immediate ceasefire, the delivery of humanitarian aid to provide relief to the civilian population in Gaza, further calls for the immediate and safe release of all hostages, supports a full international criminal court investigation of potential war crimes committed, and calls for the full adherence to international humanitarian and human rights law. An international intervention with leadership brought to bear on securing dialogue, a lasting peace, and a long-term solution that ends this crisis. Furthermore, this council writes to both UK and Irish governments, calling for the immediate expulsion of the Israeli ambassador. Chair, I'm sure every single person in this chamber tonight is horrified watching the scenes of chaos and destruction
in Gulf and Gaza over the last month. As of today, we've heard on the radios that the death toll as a result of Israeli aggression from October the 7th has passed 10,000. 10,000 lives lost, including 4,800 children and 2,550 women. All mothers, fathers, sons and daughters, human beings with names and faces being indiscriminately slaughtered. The barbaric attack carried out by Hamas on October the 7th has rightly been condemned by all. 1,400 innocent Israelis massacred and over 200 taken hostage. Unconscionable inhumanity. But, Chair, inhumanity is not a phenomenon that exists only in Israel and Palestine. It exists the world over. But what differentiates the Palestinian conflict is the sharp divergence in the application of moral outrage. Why is a Palestinian life worth less in the world's eyes? How can the collective punishment of innocent Palestinian civilians be dressed up as self-defence? 10,000 bombs dropped on a civilian population of 2.3 million crammed into an area the size of the Arabs Peninsula, compounded by the fact that the entire population were forcibly displaced into half that area with absolutely no means of escape. Schools and hospitals bombed, aid supplies cut off, food and water running out, power and communications cut to the outside world, collective punishment being inflicted on innocent men, women and children for the actions of a paramilitary group. It's unimaginable to think that Israel would systematically and relentlessly carpet bomb its own population if Hamas were hiding in a southern town in Israel, justifying the slaughter of their own people as a cause to defeat Hamas. But imagine for a second that happened. Imagine in the midst of the carnage that the wounded receiving treatment or the displaced seeking safe refuge were then bombed in the sacred sanctity of a hospital or their place of worship. What would the response of the world have been? Would they equivocate? Would they brazenly state that innocent civilians deserved the comeuppance for the actions of paramilitaries? Would they offer blank checks and statements of ironclad support for those authorising the attacks? Of course they wouldn't. So why is it deemed acceptable in Gaza? Chair, to observe the dehumanisation of Palestinians in the media has been absolutely staggering. To inextricably link Palestinian civilians with the actions of Hamas is both morally wrong and factually inaccurate. The civilians being murdered in Gaza are every bit as innocent as the civilians who were murdered in Israel. And if we allow our outrage and indignation to be limited or inhibited on the basis of what passport a victim holds, then we aren't just debasing the humanity of Palestinians. We're debasing our own humanity. For me, for Councillor King, Councillor Murphy, and I know many other people who visited the area, it feels deeply personal. Last summer, I spent a couple of weeks in Palestine teaching children in a summer school and setting up a student scholarship fund to help Palestinian students gain entry to university. I can honestly, hand on heart, say I found them to be the most decent, salt-of-the-earth people that I've ever met. The hardship that they have to endure is appalling, but most of them get on with it with a smile on their face. I want to touch on one person that I met over there, because it brings the human factor to this. I made a real connection with a young kid called Case. Case had no English whatsoever, but we connected through sport. Every time he'd seek me out in the playground after classes, and we'd spend the entire time, 30 to 40 minutes, throwing a ball, a small tennis ball, back and forward. The happiness that he got from a simple tennis ball was beyond humbling. On the last day, he signed a T-shirt before we left school. He just wrote his name because he'd no English and drew a wee ball so that I'd remember him. 2 days later, before leaving for the airport, he got a message to me through his mum to meet him at the Virgin Mary statue in the centre of Jaffna. I was surprised, but I went in and met him. And there he was, sitting with his mum and his sisters. He'd used his pocket money to buy me a small necklace and said, please don't forget about me. And you know what? I promised him that I wouldn't forget about him. And tonight I want to give him advice. Last week, I seen the image of a young boy laying dead in the dirt in Gaza. And there was a tennis ball sticking out of his pocket. That image hits so hard. It hits so hard because he's some mother's Case. One of the 4,800 children whose life was cruelly cut short. Chair, the human beings dying on our screens are not just abstract statistics in some godforsaken place. They've broken bread with these people, kicked football with them, laughed with them, celebrated weddings with them. But you don't need to know someone to defend their dignity. You don't need to have met someone to know that their life is as valuable as your own. There's a moral obligation upon every single person to use their voice, however small it may feel, to defend the human dignity of every innocent person trapped in this brutality. The Israeli government claim that their sole aim is to rid Gaza of Hamas. And let's think about that for 1 minute. What would Palestine look like if Hamas were removed entirely? You don't have to look far for the answer. The West Bank. Hamas have no place in the West Bank, and yet we continue to watch innocent Palestinians murdered there and forcibly removed from their homes as settler violence grows under the protection of the Israeli army. Time and time again, we witness clear violations of the Oslo Accords of 1993 and 1995 were aimed at fulfilling the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination. Peace agreements that cost Israeli Prime Minister Rabin his life in 1995 when he was assassinated for showing the leadership required for signing those peace agreements. A time of hope and promise that feels utterly unreachable today. A time where America, under Clinton presidency, focused its efforts in bringing both sides together in peace, not driving them apart through war. We find ourselves at a time where the world is devoid of that leadership. Unforgivably, where the governments of the world have failed to call for so much as a ceasefire. The images of Rabin and Arafat shaking hands in the White House have been dishonoured by current administrations. We are witnessing the genocide of a people, and yet Western governments continue to send tens of billions of pounds in military aid to Netanyahu's government in Israel. Surely this only emboldens belligerence. Where is the humanity in all this? There is a moral obligation on the governments of the world who have pledged their support and friendship for Israel to recognise that friends tell each other the truth. And the truth is, an eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind. Western nations must use their considerable power to insist upon an immediate establishment of unrestricted humanitarian corridors in Gaza, a complete cessation of hostilities, and an urgent resumption of the dialogue between both sides to establish a just and lasting peace where the dignity and security of both Israel and Palestine are guaranteed. If the governments of the world were to hold themselves to their own values and insist upon the cessation of violence, then not a single person more would need today. Chair, a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. speaks volumes at this time. Violence begets violence. Hate begets hate. And toughness begets a greater toughness. It is all a descending spiral. And the end is destruction for everybody. Along the way of life, someone must have the sense and morality to cut off the chain of hate. Chair, the whole world is watching, but watching is not enough. We must speak up. We must use our platform as councillors and call for a ceasefire. As a council, we must make our position crystal clear, and that's why we call on both UK and Irish governments to immediately expel the Israeli ambassadors. I hope every member here in the chamber tonight will support our joint motion. I thank Cathal King for joining me on this motion tonight.
Mr. King.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and thanks, Councillor Byrne, for agreeing to work on a joint motion. And you know what, it did deserve a round of applause there because he spoke from the heart. And myself, I travelled to Palestine, as you mentioned, and we hold that deep personal connection, we do, and every day it's absolutely heartbreaking. So look, I suppose what I want to say is I just wanted to highlight my experience having travelled to Palestine and the West Bank and provide a brief context to what the last 75 years has been like prior to this recent escalation. In June of 2022, I travelled to the city of Hebron, Palestine, as part of a human rights and conflict internship for 2 weeks. Checkpoints, watchtowers and fortification walls. It was on this journey that I truly felt the weight of the word occupation. Arriving in the city of Hebron, I was taken from the unease of the military occupation to the warmth of the world-renowned Arab hospitality, and Pete touched on that. I spoke to the locals and other international visitors from all walks of life, each person as welcoming as the last. My days in Hebron consisted of meeting human rights organisations, visiting refugee camps and speaking to the local businesses to hear about how they cope with the harsh realities of military oppression. My trip to Palestine was certainly an eye-opener. You begin to see what real oppression and difficulty looks like. Freedom of movement is restricted with separate roads, number plates and IDs all signalling out the Palestinians, while fortifications erected at the whim of their oppressor carve up and separate them from their ancestral home. You know, generations have been shackled and a nation strangled for just existing. It's been a 75-year colonial ethnic cleansing and displacement. The violence and humanitarian crisis in Palestine deepens by the day. Israel are engaged in a ferocious military offensive against the civilian population, breaking international law by targeting civilians, destroying civilian infrastructure, forcing mass population displacement, and cutting off vital supplies of water, food, medicines and fuels. This is happening before the eyes of the world, and it must be confronted. Israel defies these calls for a ceasefire. This cannot stand. And lastly, the position of the Israeli ambassador on this island is now untenable. My colleague Pat Sheehan told the ambassador to pack her bags and go. I echo his words and remind the ambassador, if she has not already, to pack her bags and go. Garmin Mel.
Thank you, Councillor King. Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. And I do thank Councillors Vernon King for presenting this motion. Indeed, listening to the personal memories of both Councillor Byrne and King, it's quite moving. Chair, over the past few weeks, Alliance Councillors, MLAs and the MP for North Antrim, the North Down, have received an outpouring of correspondence from constituents deeply affected by the atrocities in Palestine and Israel. This includes constituents from the region and Jewish and Muslim families who are currently experiencing profound distress and fear. Chair, my father, as a student, spent a bit of time at a kibbutz, so seeing the pictures and stories coming from these communes feels close. And believe it or not, I've been to a few all-night raves in my day, so seeing partygoers flee a techno all-nighter, it feels close. But, Chair, I'm a father, so seeing a dad dig through the rubble of his home to search for the body of his child, well, I'm not sure how that would feel, but it feels close. As someone from Northern Ireland, I know that violence against violence and that another family's grief is no different to my own. Every life is equal. As councillors in this chamber, we can recognise our diverse and sincerely held perspective on this conflict, but we should strive to maintain an inclusive and respectful approach for all our constituents, especially those who are grieving. And I do, I thank councillors Byrne and King for reflecting this approach in their motion. I do not, however, believe this prohibits us from being clear on where accountability lies. We are witnessing unspeakable war crimes. The UN has warned that Palestinians are at grave risk of genocide. Israeli families are also suffering unimaginable pain and fear. It is important that we are clear in our condemnation of Hamas and the Israeli government. In view of this, I wish to propose a slight amendment. That this council, and then the next couple of lines on done up until the immediate ceasefire, mourns the loss of every innocent Palestinian and Israeli killed during the past month and urgently calls for a ceasefire. Will this council recognises Israel's right to self-defence against Hamas' deplorable terrorist attacks on October 7th. We express profound concern at Israel's disproportionate response and horrifying breaches of international humanitarian law in Gaza. We further call for, and it would remain the same after that, Chair, but we wouldn't include the last line of the motion amended just prior to the meeting. Palestinians are not Hamas, Israelis are not the far-right government and the IDF. This is not a religious war. We should not shy away from being explicit in who must be held accountable. Chair, it can be difficult sometimes to get your head around the size of Gaza, but from what I can tell and visualise it, in sleep crude DA terms, it's as driving from Castlewellan to the Spa, to Ballinhinch to the Temple to Guy Duff, and then getting to my parents' house at Ravenhill. That is the approximate length of the Gaza Strip. Half of that strip is roughly the same size as sleep crude DA. Bearing in mind, the IDF has asked the Palestinians to remove themselves from more than half of Gaza. Gaza's population, 2.5 million, crude and electorate of 15,000. Current combined casualties of the month-long war now are approximately 10,000. 2.5 million people in the area, the same size as Sleeve crude, and an equivalent of two-thirds of Sleeve crude's electorate killed over the last month. What little I know of international law is that military response is required to be proportionate. The siege conditions of civilians' areas and the ever-escalating death of total Palestinians is collective punishment. It is not self-defence. And yet, there are times of hope. When the 85-year-old Yochaved Lishvitz was released from her Hamas captors. She turned to them and offered them shalom, peace, a physical outworking of repaying evil with a blessing as a demonstration of hope. I pray that peace be with the Israelis and the Palestinians. As councillors, we have the opportunity to send a powerful message that communities of nearing more and down stand with humanity, that we are unafraid to condemn war crimes and see them, and that we mourn the loss of every innocent Palestinian Israeli life in the region, that are committed to seeing an immediate end to suffering, death and destruction. Chair, again, just to address the amendment about the ambassador, we strongly believe that severing diplomatic relations with Israel would be detrimental to achieving these demands, and that diplomatic engagement is in fact critical at this time. If the Israeli ambassador were to be expelled, Israel would certainly retaliate by expelling the Irish and British ambassadors, thereby ending Ireland's avenue to diplomatically challenge and criticise Israel. Having an Israeli ambassador in Ireland also allows the Irish government to formally transmit its views to Israel, including summoning the ambassador to the Ivory House. We also believe it is important for Ireland and others to have a diplomatic footprint in Israel to protect Irish citizens. Again, if listening to the evening extra today, that is so important. If an Irish citizen is in danger in Israel and Ireland cut off relations, then Ireland would have no to depend on a third country to intervene instead. Diplomacy with difficult states and even in enemy states is, and we believe, and should remain the norm. We respect that others have a shared different viewpoint. A line must be drawn to put this conflict to an end, but we believe this can only be done through diplomacy and engagement, not by breaking those ties and undermining Ireland's and UK's influence in the region. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray. Councillor Byrne, do you accept Councillor McMurray's amendment?
No, I just want to explain. Myself and Cathal King, Councillor King, we were very, very careful toward this, that we weren't identifying one side or another, that it's civilians right across the region. That's why it's the motion on Gaza and southern Israel. And it condemns the violence and indiscriminate murder of all civilians. For us to go in and start talking about, you know, Israel's right to self-defence, what about Gaza's right to self-defence, or Palestinians' right to self-defence, it conflates the motion. And it was very, very difficult. It took a couple of iterations before we got it, that it was covering everything. So, with respect, Andy, I think to accept your amendment would go back and undo that work and start to get into a tit-for-tat on naming sides. So I don't accept it if Councillor King agrees with me on that. Councillor Warren.
As we're not all in agreement, we now need to take a vote.
So, Chair, you need to, because Councillor
Yeah, Chair, just before the vote, I suppose in the spirit of the motion and the explanation that I had given, well, I asked Councillor McMurray to possibly retract the amendment based on the reasons why I don't want to get into outline on either side.
Understand that. I do appreciate, but I think it's also it's as much the last sentence as well, which is now part of your motion as well, so that's also a secondary concern of ours, Chair.
So we're going to take a vote. And Sir Andrews?
Is this for the against?
Yes. Oh, sorry. Councillor Bowsey?
Four.
Councillor Brennan is absent. Councillor Burton?
Against.
Councillor Campbell?
Against.
Councillor Clark?
Against.
Councillor Devlin?
Against.
Councillor Enright is absent. Councillor Finn?
Against.
Councillor Finnegan?
Against.
Councillor Galbraith?
Against.
Councillor Gibbons?
Against.
Councillor Hanlon?
Against.
Councillor Hannah?
For.
Councillor Hart?
Against.
Councillor Howell?
Against.
Councillor Jackson?
For.
Councillor Kearns?
Against.
Councillor Kelly?
For.
Councillor King?
Against.
Councillor Larkin?
Against.
Councillor Lee Searchner?
For.
Councillor Lewis?
For.
Councillor McGuinness?
Against.
Councillor Mathers?
Against.
Councillor McAteer?
Against.
Councillor McAvoy?
Against.
Councillor McMurray?
For.
Councillor O'Hare?
Against.
Councillor Declan Murphy?
Against.
Councillor Kate Murphy's absent. Councillor Selena Murphy?
Against.
Councillor Quinn?
Against.
Councillor Riley and Rice are absent. Councillor Rowan?
Against.
Councillor Sharvin?
Against.
Councillor Taylor?
For.
Councillor Tinley? Councillor Truesdale?
For.
So I have 9 for and 26 against. Councillor Jackson?
Thank you, Chair. Just on behalf of the DUP group and this council, we condemn the barbaric and premeditated attacks perpetrated by Hamas in Israel on the 7th of October, resulting in the murder of more than 1,400 people and abduction of 241 hostages, including many children and young people. We recognise that Hamas is a proscribed organisation in the United Kingdom, the Republic of Ireland, the European Union and the United States. Therefore, we support Israel's right to defend itself and its population from acts of international terrorism and to pursue the release of innocent civilian hostages through military action that is proportionate and lawful. We stress that there is no justification for the targeted killing of civilians, the use of civilians as human shields, or the taking of civilian hostages, all of whom must be urgently released. There is also no moral equivalence between the brutal and indiscriminate actions of Hamas and those taken by the Israel Defence Forces to root out those responsible. As a council, we deeply regret the loss of all innocent life in this and previous conflicts in the Middle East. We support calls for the opening of humanitarian corridors for those civilians in Gaza who are in desperate need of basic supplies and medical treatment. However, we are not qualified to make calls for a ceasefire. Therefore, we will have to abstain on this motion. And we believe that there is a duty incumbent on all parties and political representatives in Northern Ireland to act in a responsible way, disavow the promotion of violence and take a clear stand on anti-Semitism. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, this debate obviously creates very strong opinions and very strong emotions from all the speakers so far. But I'm just always mindful about where this current crisis originated, and that was from the horrific attacks that were undertaken by Hamas on October the 7th, which seemed probably some of the most barbaric acts ever recorded in Israel. I want to place, certainly on record, my support and that of my parties for Israel to defend its borders. And I understand their desire to remove the blight of Hamas from Gaza entirely, particularly given the scenes that we've seen in recent weeks following on from their terrorist attack. I certainly have an expectation, as does my party, that Israel would act within recognised conventions to ensure that innocent Palestinian lives are protected. I'm also mindful, however, that Hamas, in launching attacks, they're using residential areas, schools, hospitals, and they're creating circumstances where they're placing people in that area in harm's way, and we should be mindful of that also. But listen, what do we expect whenever we've seen some of the scenes that they undertook on the 7th of October? It has to be recognised that there has been the creation of humanitarian corridors over recent days and weeks, and I certainly hope that that will continue, and that's been with the support of America and Egypt and others to create those conditions for that, and it is necessary to ensure that people can get the resources and whatever they need to sustain themselves on a day-to-day basis. I think, though, the unfortunate truth is that there are those across the Middle East who do not want a true and lasting peace. Their only wish is for the eradication of Israel and every person that lives in Israel. And I've even heard comments from Hamas spokespersons over recent days saying that they would do what they carried out on the 7th of October time and time again until they achieved their goal of eradicating Israel. And terrorist organisations such as Hamas are committed to causing death and destruction with no consideration for the repercussions for those they claim to represent. Any lasting peace within the Middle East starts with every country recognising and calling out those terrorist organisations who think nothing of raping, murdering and dismembering women and children. A true and lasting peace settlement for the Middle East is something that certainly I and my party believe every right-minded person would hope one day would be achieved. But that creates significant work that would be required to achieve that, and there has to be a recognition for Israel's right to exist. So, based on the current wording of the motion, I cannot support it tonight. But I certainly hope that we can find ourselves in a situation sooner rather than later where we do find a true and lasting peace for the people in the Middle East.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair. First of all, I attended one of the protests in Belfast at the weekend where there was over 10,000 people. And it just brings in the stark reality how many people have died in Gaza and southern Israel also. The civilian killings are wrong, no matter where it's coming from. And that was the message was at the protest. And the protest was basically calling for an end to revenge bombardment of Gaza and its people. As I say, over 10,000 citizens in Gaza. The vast majority of them are civilians. Close to 5,000 children have lost their lives for being Palestinian since October the 7th, 2023. These children, they were in Hamas. The vast majority of the people who've lost their lives in Gaza, the 10,000 people, weren't in Hamas. They were just trying to survive. They were just trying to live their lives as best they can. Israel Defense Forces then cruelly forced people from their homes, over a million people, from South Gaza to North Gaza, or from North to South Gaza, sorry, deliberately targeting them, targeting their homes, targeting hospitals, targeting schools, targeting anywhere in refugee camps, anywhere that they were told to go for safety. The Israeli Defense Forces then cruelly bombarded them and murdered them at this location also. I've heard many councillors have heard people say they can't support the motion. There's many councillors in this chamber with Christian beliefs. And what I think, and I was talking to people at the protest, what side would Jesus have been on? Jesus lived under Roman occupation. I believe he would have been on the side of the oppressed, occupied Palestinian people. That's the side he would have been on. I also spoke to residents, you know, cleaning up after, you know, the floods, the devastated floods that we've suffered. And one woman said to me, you can imagine what a parent is going through in Gaza. Just try to maybe think what it's like for families to look after the children, try to get them food, try to get them water, try to get them comfort. But also their extended families, who many of them for generations of their entire family have been wiped out. We've seen it on our TV screens. You know, you have reporters, you have doctors' families, you know, people losing their lives have nothing to do with Hamas. They're losing their lives because of the indiscriminate bombings of a densely residential area. The people have nowhere to go. They're now hemmed into a small area half the size of Gaza. And apparently last night was the most intensive bombing campaign of the whole conflict so far. Just to say, there's a lot of opposition to the collective punishment of the Palestinian people in Gaza by Israel and its allies. Many human rights organizations, UN officials and international experts have condemned Israel's blockade, siege and bombardment of Gaza as illegal, inhumane and disproportionate. Collective punishment is a violation of international humanitarian law, which prohibits imposing penalties on people for acts they have not committed or are not responsible for. The Fourth Geneva Convention states that no protected person may be punished for an offence he or she has not personally committed, and that collective penalties and likewise all measure of intimidation or of terrorism are prohibited. Collective punishment of Gaza's civilian population amounts to a war crime, as it caused widespread and severe suffering and harm to millions of innocent people. According to Amnesty International, the blockade of Gaza has created a humanitarian crisis with shortage of food, water, medicine, fuel and electricity. The closure of Gaza is an affront to justice and the rule of law, and has devastated every aspect of life in Gaza, including health, education, agriculture, industry and the environment. Collective punishment of Gaza does not achieve any legitimate security or political objectives, but rather fuels more violence and hatred. The UN Special Rapporteur on the situation of human rights in the Palestinian territories, occupied since 1967, Michael Link, said that Israel's actions amount to collective punishment of the Palestinian people, with millions of innocent harmed daily and nothing achieved but deeper tensions and an atmosphere conducive to further violence. He urged Israel to immediately stop all actions amounting to collective punishment and to lift the blockade and end the occupation. There needs to be an immediate ceasefire to allow aid into the Palestinian people, basic food, water, fuel, electricity, and medical aid. Israel continues the bombardment of Gaza, and the continued killing of thousands of civilians cannot continue. It is a war crime that needs to end. A ceasefire must be agreed immediately, and a solution to end this nightmare and a political settlement must be a priority. Next year.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly.
Yeah, very briefly, Chairperson. And first of all, I want to sincerely thank Councillor Bourne, Councillor King, for bringing the motion on the e-motion that Councillor Bourne and Councillor King brought to the proceedings. I'm very disappointed, Chairperson, that there's not unanimity in the chamber on that motion. I don't think anywhere in Pete and Councillor King's motion did it state that there was anything other than collective horror and collective objection to what happened on the 7th of October and the horror inflicted on the Israeli people. That's not in any doubt, and I think everybody's in agreement that that was simply extraordinary and outrageous to happen on those people. But the thing is this, 2.3 million people in an area that's not very big, 10,000 bombs dropped on that area, probably no more than the size, four or five times the size of Jordan, if you'd like to put it in some perspective. 10,000 bombs have been dropped on people have nowhere to go. And I read somewhere recently that intelligence reports would indicate that Hamas no more than 30,000 members. So if 1.3% of the population, yet 100% of the population of Gaza are on the receiving end of those bombs and that onslaught, it's nothing short of an attempted genocide here of the Palestinian people. And it's clearly on the agenda of the Israeli government to turn Gaza into a desert and get those people over the border into the Sinai Desert. And it's wrong on every level to turn criticism of the policies of the Israeli government, the most right wing in its history, into anti-Semitism, an accusation of anti-Semitism, because it's not. I mean, there's plenty of Jewish people, particularly the liberal-minded Jewish people, are absolutely horrified of what's been done in their name out there in the Middle East. So I fully concur with the proposal as is presented by Councillor Bourne and Councillor King. I thank them very much, and particularly Pete's words that will resonate with me for a long, long time. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Finlay. Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. I mean, listening to what has been said here tonight, and I pretty much concur with what my group leader has said. One thing I'm extremely disappointed is what Councillor Fergus just said. I believe he's put in the Lord our God and Dean, so he has been even mentioning Jesus in this year. He cannot speak for him at any time, so he can. He can never speak for him. And I would call on him and I assume you're speaking in the name of Sinn Féin, so you are to condemn Hamas for what they are. They attacked and murdered people, so they did innocent people at a musical festival. So I'm calling on Sinn Féin now to condemn Hamas for what they are, murderers.
Councillor Byrne, if you'd like to sum up.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'll be very brief, and I want to thank everybody who spoke in support of the motion. I suppose Councillor Henley hit the nail on the head at the end. We were very, very careful to try and put something forward with the human factor, for example. And in the wording of the motion, just as Councillor Hannah had said in his last comments, you know, the wording of the motion condemns all civilian killing right across the region in Israel and in Gaza. And Councillor Clark sort of hit the nail on the head without going into the figures themselves, but just getting on people's Christianity. I mean, that's the human factor. We're talking about right through my words was all about humanity. We tried to, both myself and Carol King, tried to put a face to people over there. You know, we've seen some of the things you see over there sticks with you. And you'll never forget it. I've seen the growing settlements outside Ramallah. We've been moved from the school because we shot at the school we were teaching them. We've seen young kids being shot in the refugee camp on the outskirts of Ramallah, between Ramallah and Jaffna. It is tragic what's happened over the last number of decades. People displaced from homes that are still waiting to get back. They're still holding refugee status for the last 40, 50 and 60 years. And we're seeing it happening again in Gaza. We're seeing massive displacement with nowhere to go into a corner of a very, very small area. I didn't get into the politics of a state's right to self-defence. That's a given. But there has to be a line drawn when people are pinned into an open-air prison and 10,000 bombs are dropping them. They can't get out. And as Willie said, most of them are children. The majority of them are children. And both myself and Councillor King, Councillor Murphy, probably know many, many kids that we met over there. All we can see is their faces. So we talked about leadership. The world has shown real leadership in trying to find a solution to this awful mess. And the solution is not to send in more military aid. The solution is not to try and row in behind one side or the other. The solution is to call for a ceasefire. Ceasefire and proper aid to get through to these people. Because no human being deserves what's happening over in Gaza. So, yes, so thank everybody for the support and the motion. That's me.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne. Then, as we're not all in agreement, we now need to put it to the vote.
Councillor Andrews? Councillor Andrews?
For the motion.
Councillor Pisey?
Yes.
Councillor Brown is absent. Councillor Byrne?
For.
Councillor Campbell?
For.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Devlin?
For.
Councillor Enright is absent. Councillor Finn?
For.
Councillor Finnegan?
For.
Councillor Bavoya?
For.
Councillor Gibbons? He's gone, yeah. Councillor Hanlon?
For.
Councillor Hannah?
Against.
Councillor Hart?
For.
Councillor Hyle?
For.
Councillor Jackson?
Against.
Councillor Ferns?
For.
Councillor Kelly?
Abstain.
Councillor King?
For.
Councillor Martin?
For.
Councillor Lee Searchill?
Abstain.
Councillor Lewis?
Against.
Councillor McGuinness?
For.
Councillor Mathers?
For.
Councillor McAteer? For. Councillor McAvoy? Councillor McMurray?
Abstain.
Councillor O'Hara?
For.
Councillor Declan Murphy?
For.
Councillor Kate Murphy's absent. Councillor Selena Murphy?
For.
Councillor Quinn?
For.
Councillor Riley's absent. Councillor Rice?
For.
Juan?
For.
Councillor Sharvin?
For.
Councillor Taylor?
Against.
Councillor Kinley?
For.
Councillor Truesdale?
Abstain.
I have 26 for, 5 against, and 4 abstentions.
Motion is carried.
Item 22 is a notice of motion from Southern Health and Social Care Trust, Mayfair. The motion has been brought by Councillor Devlin. Councillor Devlin, if you read your motion and let us know who's second, it will be heard.
Thank you, Chair. That's a hard act to follow. So very much indeed. I think it's the motion a week and the motion a month when you look back over everything. But I'll try and keep this straight to the town, Chair. But this council expresses support for the thousands of women who are now have their share test rechecked in the Southern Health and Social Care Trust. Further expressed its concerns over the failings of the Southern Trust, welcomes the introduction of HPV testing in the North, calls the implementation of the recommendations of the Royal College Pathologist Report, Week and End Cervical Cancer. Will write the Department of Health to reflect this motion and request an update for the implementation of the recommendations within the Week and End Cervical Cancer Report, Chair. So just that I'm Councillor Fed will be second that, but in terms of speaking to the motion, I think just actually last month we heard the devastating news that around 17,000 women living in the Southern Trust area are to have their smear tests rechecked, covering a time period from 2008 to 2021. This report reveals really the tip of a scandalous failure of screening. The system is failing women here in Northern Ireland. We all know of women who have lost their lives this awful disease and how quickly it can spread when undetected. So to wake this news is frightening, but also actually unacceptable. The World Health Organization has stated that cervical cancer is one of the most preventable and treatable forms of cancer, as long as it's detected early and managed effectively. Early detection and effective management is absolutely not the proportion of women in the Southern Trust experience for a period of 13 years. I, like many others in this chamber, spend a lot of time promoting the importance of screening and encouraging uptake. But in this respect, this issue, these women have been severely let down. They took the important step, they got tested and thought they were out of the woods, but that may not now be the case, which is a very frightening situation for many. We are told that this screening is a precautionary measure. However, the Royal College of Pathologists, in their damning report, did call for tests reviewed. They actually called for women to be recalled that were most at risk. The Southern Trust are not doing this. So just in terms of some stats, 9 women a day are diagnosed with cervical cancer in the UK, with 2 women a day dying from this disease. And the probability that a woman in Northern Ireland will develop the disease before the age of 75 is around 1 in 138, which is an alarming figure. And I suppose statistics are alarming enough, and remember, behind every stat there is a female and a family. So in a society, we must be doing better. But this charges in conclusion, and before Derry speaks, you know, I would absolutely still encourage everyone when call for screening, whatever type of screening that is, to go for it. It does save lives. This has been an anomaly along the way. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Devlin, Councillor Finn.
I'm going to keep it very close because I think Councillor Devlin, I just want to thank her for bringing this motion because I think it is something that is really important, and I think just to press on the fact that I know it can be, as a young woman, very concerning if you are, you don't know what's going to happen. And you've never gone for a smear test before, but I think it's really important that as a council, if we can find a potential way that we can share information that would help people feel more comfortable with that, I think it's really important. Just to thank Councillor Devlin for bringing the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Finn. Councillor Cruiser. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Councillor Devlin, for bringing this motion. I absolutely agree with everything in it. We're extremely lucky to live in a part of the world where we have free regular smear tests, but I think it's safe enough to say that from the minute you receive your letter to attend until the minute you receive your all clear, there's very little else that you think about. So to be recalled is extremely traumatic, and the findings in the October report by the Southern Health Trust are clearly unacceptable. I would like to ask for a small amendment in the letter to the Department of Health, and that is to ensure there is sufficient funding for the rollout of the HPV testing in the time frame indicated. Councillor Finn. Devlin, sorry. Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. Councillor Finnegan.
I want to thank Councillor Madden for taking this motion to be able to offer their support to those women who have been who have their smear test rechecked in Southern Trust. This review has caused great anxiety among the women affected. The women must have full access to all information about this process from start to finish so they know what is happening and why. HPV testing is the most modern and accurate method for testing for cervical cancer, and we welcome that this is now being rolled out. It just, again, stresses the fact that we need an assembly restored now, and all parties must need to be working together to ensure that it's delivered and support these women further. We also need an executive restored to deliver a women's health strategy which begins to address health inequalities facing women today.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor McAvoy, are you looking in?
I'm sorry,
Deacon. Okay. Councillor Hannah?
Thanks, Chair. First of all, thanks very much for bringing that forward. This whole issue has become just unbelievable sometimes. And the ladies in particular, in this particular thing on the smear test, so their lives do depend on it, and the length of their lives. This is just unbelievable, so since we've got ourselves into this situation. On that, Laura, thank you for going forward, and it's very, very much needs to be looked into seriously, so thanks.
Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair, just acknowledge my support for the motion as well, and thanks to Councillor Devlin for bringing it forward tonight. This issue has caused, you know, very, very serious concern, and the numbers of women affected by it is enormous. And, you know, I certainly hope that the Trust will undertake all the actions that they need to try and address and reassure anyone that's been affected by this. Like, there are general concerns even about the length of time sometimes, and listen, I'm not, you know, I've spoken to my wife about this, and you know, she for instance had a test and still waiting on results in nearly 6 months later, and she was happy for me to say that even during this debate tonight, and that shows that there's a serious flaw and serious faults in the system. And this, what's materialised obviously in recent weeks with the Trust announcement, doesn't just adds to that fear and concern there is about this. So I certainly hope, you know, that they will address that in the manner that's required, and that further measures are taken to ensure that something like this never happens again.
Thank you, Taylor. Councillor Devlin, would you like to sum up?
No, Chair, thank you for the contribution. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Is everyone in agreement?
Yes.
Thank you. Item 23, the notice of motion and the reason of support. The notice of the motion has been brought by Councillor Howell. Councillor Howell, read your motion. Yes, no, your second will be heard here.
Councillor McAvoy will be second on my motion. So it reads, this council acknowledges the grief and trauma associated with passing of loved one, the loss of a family member or a friend can have a profound impact on an individual, but in particular on a child or a young person. Council further acknowledges and commends the good work the school is doing supporting their pupils in the event of bereavement, but accepts that they are not sufficiently equipped or resourced to provide the comprehensive level of support that may be required in some circumstances. Council will write to schools in the district to ascertain their views in relation to the matter in order to gain an understanding of the resources that are required to deliver the level of support our pupils require in the event of a bereavement. Suffering a loss of a parent or significant family member can have a huge impact on the mental health and well-being of the child. The taboo around death, dying and bereavement can have a huge barrier to people right across our society, so it's vital for young people get the support they need. Sometimes the simple words opening up of a conversation to say, I'm sorry to hear about your loved one, can just be enough. Extending an arm of support, especially to a young person or child who finds it difficult opening up to people. Schools in very many ways can be a child's second home. They can spend anything from 20 to 32 hours a week in schools. If schools are in a position to offer an additional support to teaching and non-teaching staff, the impact of support for young people in a school environment would be a huge comfort to those who may be worried about their children at home. Statistics found to believe and show that in every classroom will be at least one child who has suffered or been bereaved will also be a parent or significant adult in their life. In one way, that may seem quite a lot, but on the other hand, it's very isolating for those young people. For a child or a young person sitting in a class with only one, based on the loss of a parent, a sibling, or a significant family member, it must be very isolating, and often the response or reaction to that can be extreme. From personal experience with working in a school, I know that I would just want to know how to help with that in the correct way. How school staff support a young person so they can manage their grief, but still can continue to become resilient and survive through the school term and the years ahead. There will be no one-size-fits-all approach to this. Every child who has been bereaved will be impacted differently. I believe that staff and schools and information, training or support available to them, it will go a long way to help navigate around this so they can offer support for young people that they can become with their schoolwork and overcome challenges that become with being bereaved. I want to put on record my huge admiration for the fantastic job of teaching and non-teaching staff do in our schools to support our children. However, I believe that there isn't a number of school staff who wouldn't be keen to upskill themselves to feel they are able to deal with these issues. I am aware that this COVID middle school has a counsellor on site to support our children and young people, which is great to have. However, for many young people, there can be a stigma attached to attending a council or being taken out of the class to attend a meeting. While walking out, it makes it a challenge for many young people. A smile, sound, a prayer, or a piece of music can trigger a memory, and they can become very overwhelmed with sitting within the class surrounded by their peers. If staff were equipped with the knowledge of how to comfort and address these feelings of grief, it would make a huge impact on a child's experience. This commitment I carry at Close Breaking Charities work together to roll out breathing training across the schools within the north. Training covered a wide variety of issues, but really in support, it helps school staff understand the different ages and stages of breathing voice and how children and young people react. They skip with the first step in their phased approach, which can help develop and embed great support for children impacted by growth into curriculum for all schools across the north. However, they claim that there is a constant demand for breathing support for both pupils and teachers. So, as the motion urges councils to write to schools to get their views on this important matter, we should look at the example of what Mary Curie do, and perhaps request for information from schools is successful, we should seek to engage with Mary Curie on the findings. It will also be important to engage with and link with the relevant officials from the Department of Education to perhaps explore this further, see what practical changes can be implemented across the board that could potentially make a huge difference to our young people.
Thank you, Councillor Harland. Councillor McAvoy.
Yes, thank you. I'm happy to second Councillor Harland's motion. I just want to add that support for young people during difficult times such as breathing is essential. I'm aware Councillor Harland has referred to in school counsellors, and they provide great support for young people. But unfortunately, the demand outstrips supply, and there can be a 6-month wait in time in some schools. Therefore, it's vitally important that we in council do what we can to support our young people in schools. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McAvoy. Councillor Gregory.
Thanks, Chair. Fully supportive of promotion, absolutely. And working with young people is at the heart of everything I've done for the last 20 odd years. I would just like to highlight that while working in the schools, the level of support for young people has improved. There's always room for improvement. But just a few things brief. If Professor Hill doesn't mind, I'd like to add an amendment. After the sentence, where it says, "Council for their volunteers and commends the good work, schools can support their pupils in the event of a bereavement," I'd like to suggest we add, "Consequently, this council agrees to note that pupils experience emotional problems. They find it difficult to engage with the education process to reach their full potential, and they require sustained contact with an adult who is not directly involved with their education. Welcome to work undertaken by the Independent Counseling Service for Schools, the ICSS, to support the mental health and well-being of young people, supports the need for schools to bring in external agencies when there's limited access to the ICSS, and will write to all schools in the district to ascertain the challenges they are facing and obtaining these resources, and commits to revisit this matter once responses have been received to determine if additional financial support may be required."
Ms. Do you mind taking the chance to go quite the insight of all life? If you're looking down to the end where you're coming from, you don't agree with what you said, but if you would like to put it in here or support Sarah, that's okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I go ahead with Councillor Kelly.
Yes, thanks, Chair. Lines to your first part of this motion tonight, the loss of a loved one for a young person can be incredibly difficult. I myself was a family member last week. In the last 6 months, Counseling Services, as mentioned by Conservative Brave, have also become a victim of cuts in our schools, and it's been a detrimental blow to the mental health of young people who are bereaved. As you mentioned, Councillor Howell, Mary Curie are doing a fantastic job in the other company piloting project between teachers on how to provide support for bereaved pupils. And I think they should, their responses be included in this motion. Of course, there is a greater resourcing issue altogether within the department in order to ensure that teachers and non-teaching staff are properly supported to help bereaved pupils and families. But I'm happy to support the motion and hopeful that this motion will help us understand what resources are needed in our schools to help raise children. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Well, actually, quite honestly, this is right from the animal most included. Children, especially younger children or children of any age, do not understand what death is. It's just one minute person's there, the next minute the person's gone. You know, all kids and staff need to be educated on how to do this. But this moment in time, a lot of the support does come to children in this situation actually comes from the voluntary sector, which is not really the right place either. So it's not, it's education authorities who have staff in place and whoever else is actually aged, they should be supporting this here rather than coming on the likes of the voluntary sector. So we'll be very, very happy to support them once more. Just reading this amendment, I think I don't really feel much issue with it, but it's up to ourselves.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Taylor. Yeah, thanks, Chair. Yep, again, thanks to Councillor Hall for bringing forward this motion and very supportive of it. It's vitally important that, you know, any school is given the necessary resources to offer protection and support to any child that's going through, you know, the trauma of grief. It's something that, you know, It may come to many families at times, and I suppose we are all aware of some examples where schools have had to deal with such a situation, but I suppose there are concerns that they don't have all the support that they require. And in writing to them, obviously, if we can, you know, try and establish where there are weaknesses in that system, because the schools will do everything that they can with resources that are in their disposal. But if there's more that we can do to lobby for that additional support, to try and identify additional resources that they can, you know, can attain at a time when it's needed, you know, well, it's certainly, you know, something we should try to do. So I suppose it's something that we'll hear back on in due course as a result of the motion that's brought forward, but certainly very supportive of the concept of the motion, and, you know, hopefully that we can, you know, be of benefit in some way or other in terms of improving resources for schools in the district in situations where they may arise, that is outlined in the motion. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Chair Harris.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks everyone for their support and their comments. Councillor Galbraith, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm just discussing with my colleagues. I do, your amendment is very commendable. I do ask you to put a separate motion with itself, because it talks about promotion, health and wellbeing, and we're trying to raise it. You're thinking so, I can understand where you're coming from there, but I just think that in one way it could be a standalone motion. Again, I know we've talked about the customer services, and I'm very aware of that, and working within a school myself, I see it firsthand then daily, and the way even the school that my children go to, the waiting time, the length we have for giving answers is, you know, so I think, to be honest with you, it's something we could bring yourself next month, and not specific, but that's my personal opinion on it.
No, good. It's enough for nothing with this level. I'm going to withdraw and I'll revisit it.
I'm more than happy to second. So if you're willing to bring that next month, I'm more than happy to second up if I do see that first time. But I do think if we were in the chamber of content, I think my motion to address the police motion, I think that you're saying, if you're 100% right, somebody else can then outside the school, but it's not known, it's a better way to go to the end. So, you're going to put yourself right to the medals with you. They were content enough. I think it's my image and personal best. At the moment, we're not alone there.
Thank you, Councillor Howard. Yeah, just like to sum up. Sorry, I just want to reiterate what Councillor Howard was saying. I do definitely think Connor's amendment is very, very commendable. But I do think it's exciting the result of the subject of the main motion. So just to make the point that, you know, what you're doing is really commendable, and I think what you're suggesting needs to have the debate itself,
and be given that attention. But so just wanted to just reiterate what Roisin coming back with.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. I love what you've been doing this very long, and this Councillor Hannah had emotional reading more later on. So look back and improve the support. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Item 24 is the notice of motion on road safety. The motion will be deferred to active and healthy communities under in line with standing orders 10.1.6. Councillor Andrews, if you would read your motion and let's know who's going to second it, please.
Thank you very much for I'll try to be brief. I just let you know that Honourable Grace will be seconding the motion and read the motion under the Council of Records. Moving to the term, it means that really one of the District Council has the highest number of casualties for something that's killed or seriously injured on our roads. This Council will commit to a prioritisation of road safety across the district. One review of that funding is made available to the PCSQ, Police, Community and Safety Partnership to consider the future provision of speed indicator devices and will undertake a public messaging campaign throughout the winter as I say road users of the importance of road safety and the responsibility of all road users for road safety. So that's the most right answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ambers.
Well,
that ends our meeting for tonight. Thank you, everyone, and stay home.
Thank you, sir.